Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. He said, I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Overcometh. Jesus was speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I'm reading verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 24. 1, starting in verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Verse 7. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The word overcometh in Strong's is number 3528. Comes from another word which means to subdue, literally or figuratively, conquer, overcome, prevail, or get the victory. Jesus making everything new will not be a challenge for those who have learned to hear his voice and know what to do by asking him everything. The courtroom of God at the very end will conclude with Jesus saying, It is done. The requirements to be in his kingdom will not change, and soon there will be no more extension of time to repent deeply. Jesus did everything necessary to give those with a confidence in the flesh a chance to repent now and serve righteousness in this dark world through obedience to the Spirit. If you have been obeying the Spirit, you will have a thirst for the tree of life now. The tree of life is available to everyone born again now by the Spirit who wants to hear, trust, and obey. Do not ask God to make it easier on your flesh if you want to inherit all things. In the Living Bible, Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, But cowards who turn back from following me and those who are unfaithful to me and the corrupt and murderers and the immoral and those conversing with demons and idol worshippers and all liars, their doom is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. This is the second death. If you do not overcome your flesh with obedience to the Holy Spirit, your faith in God is lifeless. The dictates of the flesh will manifest following Christ as God gives you grace to deal with them one at a time. A cow will tell you, God gave you a brain and expects you to use it for day-to-day decisions. If you still make the decisions with your mind after hearing the truth about trusting God with all your heart, you are cowardly. Cowards believe you'll never have fun again the rest of your life by following Christ. Those born again serving two masters are some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth today, because they're always being hindered, whatever they try to do. You just have to serve Christ and overcome the flesh to be happy. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul didn't mind being put in prison, persecuted, and hunted by the Jews like a criminal. Paul got sent to the Gentiles preaching the cross without any money. He knew the religious Jews did not like news spreading that they killed their own Messiah and could have left out the cross in his preaching, but didn't. Now and again, with help from others, the Jews tried to trap him because they did not like the truth. Paul's messages were exposing those that killed the Christ for the sake of their own beliefs and those standing by watching it happen. Paul, however, did not want to deny Christ by watering down the message of eternal glory by removing the cross of Christ. In the Living Bible, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7 says, everyone who conquers will inherit all these blessings, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The promise to inherit all things appears at the end of the Bible. Jesus gave it himself. The condition to be called a son of God is that you must conquer. When you join God's army, that does not make you a first-class soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to overcome what your flesh likes consistently in all circumstances to become a family member or close relative of Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 16, I'm reading to verse 21. This is Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. If you get overcome or yield to anything else other than Christ and let it control you, you will become a servant of unrighteousness, even if it gives you some light relief. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Flee those things that feed your flesh, as the devil will make you comfortable otherwise. Darkness increases through those using their minds to make decisions in the church and in the world. Timothy had failed to pursue six things. You cannot pursue anything godly holding on to privileges of rank, earthly comforts, or monetary gain. God's building blocks in your life include these six things. laid correctly on a spiritual foundation of repentance from dead works, they will not move under pressure when you lose something for following Christ. If you stop pursuing them consistently, they will also move again as the pressure increases. Paul continued in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Complicated situations do not come along every day. Your fight is to be like Christ. So learn to build a stronger faith in God. Those using their minds to make decisions have already been overcome. You are not fighting the devil, as he has already been defeated at the cross. Those not taking up their cross daily get overcome through fear and unbelief. Timothy was losing his grip on eternal life. God will make a way for those led and controlled by the Spirit. Jesus did not open his mouth until he was directed by his Father to speak, and Pilate was nervous. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God uses weaknesses and infirmities to make you stronger spiritually, if you're willing to learn. As you get older, you cannot rely on your natural health and strength, and even your memory. It's never too late to start asking God for his solutions in areas where you never did this before. God, by grace, can remind you of things you have forgotten. The human mind was not designed to make decisions. Your mind is reserved for heavenly thoughts that you must acknowledge and obey in order to experience God's best. You may not get another reminder later if you're busy doing dead works. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6:11 says, But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God, and being Christ-like. Faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and the gentleness of heart. Here is Paul's list again with some additional Bible references. Number one, those getting angry are not pursuing righteousness. See James 1:20. Number two, those using earthly resources to make their flesh comfortable are not pursuing godliness with contentment. Philippians 4:11. Three, those not asking God in every area consistently, especially about food and clothes, are not pursuing faith. Matthew 6, verse 25. Number four, those not seeking his commands and keeping them consistently on top of their daily tasks are not pursuing love. John 14 and verse 21. Number five, those with God's timing, through patience and steadfastness, lack nothing, even in trials and difficulties. James 1, 1 to 4. So listen and go slowly. Number six, those with a meek and quiet spirit, when accused of wrongdoing that look like a castaway, are to be envied. 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. God is using complicated situations in these last days to get his bride ready for his appearing. Timothy had to let go of material gain and a comfortable life in order to pursue six things. The church that assumes they have these six things already because they claim them in Jesus' name is spiritually blind. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14. And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15. He said unto them, "Whom say ye that I am?" Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter recognized Jesus was the Messiah because of the way he overcame many situations by hearing and obeying the Spirit of God. Jesus was not looking for a fight with the religious leaders at his meetings, sent by the devil to cause trouble. Jesus was there opening his heart with peace and joy, despite the accesses of the devil all around him. In these situations, Jesus was given keys at the time to overcome evil and escape. He did not start with a full set of keys, but got another one for each situation, and you can do the same if you stop leaning to your own understanding and acknowledge God in all your ways. You are not saved by works, but by grace through faith. But you will be overcome if your faith is misdirected. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 20 to 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 20. "Then charged he his disciples that they should not tell any man that he was Jesus the Christ." Verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Verse 22. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Verse 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." The news of suffering shattered the disciples' idea of what they thought was going to happen next, based on a private interpretation of the scriptures, for the sake of their flesh. Jesus immediately responded to Peter, savoring the things of men, and was not going to get the keys of the kingdom if he did not repent. No one can enter the kingdom with a confidence in the flesh. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. This is Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 26. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Christ being formed in you and becoming perfect is a process that can start as soon as you get in Christ at salvation. For the hope of glory, you need to abide. If you come out, then you have to go back to that event and repent of the reasons why you came out and be tested under pressure with the same issue again. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Those with a confidence in God will work on abiding under pressure, like Paul, and work on what gets them out as challenges come along. To overcome, use a notebook and repent deeply. When you are overcome, the evidence you are really in Christ is in the fact that you produce the right fruit in the good times and the bad times. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, and reading verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Those who are abiding in Christ at salvation have two things. One, a permanent and true change of direction to do his perfect will consistently through repentance from dead works, not just bad works. Two, faith in God to direct and make all the right decisions. Remove a confidence in the flesh in your method of learning after coming to Christ, and study why you are getting overcome or become a hypocrite. Dead works are time consuming, so remove them, as you will always be trying to hear God under time constraints. His grace is there for you to hear his voice at any level of pressure God allows. Humble yourself if you are behind. Follow his instructions, and with the conviction of the Spirit, you will get grace to repent deeply. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 72. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 72. "And the second time the cock crow, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And when he thought thereupon, he wept." In the book Sound Doctrine, in chapter 2, Signs of the Times, on page 22, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Conviction is an alarm going off to notify you that truth has been sent to you. It wasn't sent for you to hear it and then pass it on. It was sent to be processed in you. It has been sent to expose the lies in you and destroy the works of the devil who brought the lies. You may not have intentionally believed a lie, but it needs to be exposed. You are to receive the truth, repent of the lie, and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. This is God's purpose of bringing conviction." All the disciples said they would not deny Christ under the pressure at the end. Jesus told them they would be scattered, so they would not judge themselves. Peter was being set up by the devil to fail through his own desire to physically follow Christ all the way to the cross in spiritualized flesh. Every pressure situation is an opportunity to learn lessons and get another key to the kingdom, but only when Jesus is Lord. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come." you might be able to abide when your life is comfortable. Never compare yourself with those in similar surroundings. Everyone is unique. Coming out of Christ under pressure is proof that you are lazy and not using grace and truth wisely to repent of something earlier. Time is running out. I strongly urge you to study what God is showing you through conviction when you disconnect yourself from Christ by listening to your flesh. It will be a hidden desire of the flesh or a bad habit from a root issue that needs to be broken. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you should see changes in the way you respond to pressure. We read in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fails not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The word "converted" in Strong's is number 1994. It comes from some other words which means to revert, literally, figuratively, or morally. Come, go again, convert, return, about, and go again. Those born again with no confidence in the flesh need to be strengthened. Peter was sifted as wheat by the devil after denying Christ through a fear of suffering and had to overcome guilt and shame so that he could hear the truth. Jesus prayed that Peter would not condemn himself after doing something in false humility or pride and share his testimony with the rest of the disciples that needed to hear about grace and truth. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 and reading to verse 28. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, starting in verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Those with a confidence in the flesh do not take up their cross daily, but only when they think it is necessary. Judas Iscariot died before Christ's resurrection because he was too proud to humble himself and repent in front of the other apostles. Judas did not use the blood of Jesus and got overcome through serving dead works. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time." Those living in the kingdom of God have no agenda. You do not have to be like all the inhabitants of the earth or sea of people who decide every day what to do with their minds for the sake of their flesh to make their lives more comfortable. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by humbling yourself, confessing your sin, and giving your testimony of how you are listening to the flesh going the wrong direction. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. With the wrong priorities, you'll be chasing after temporal things in this life. Those serving two masters are waiting to deceive you in every church. You should have been taught how to use the three infallible witnesses in any situation and not use your mind to come to the truth. Use natural discernment and a natural system of learning, and you will be the one the devil uses to deceive others doing dead ministry works. God can use our mistakes to help others with a heart after God repent deeply. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 10 to 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. I'm starting in verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Verse 11. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, verse 15, and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. In the house of Simon the leper, all the disciples reacted when a harlot, weeping, started washing Jesus' feet extravagantly with expensive perfume that could have been sold. Jews did not see any great amounts of money coming in through Jesus' ministry. He did not see any social changes in Israel either, based on what Jesus had done in 3 years. The situation caused him to go to the high priest and betray Jesus. We read in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9, I'm reading to verse 14. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 13. And on the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. With grace increasing, this is the greatest time to be alive if you have made Jesus your first love. Some have given up their inheritance to serve in the kingdom of heaven for the sake of temporal gain. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 14, I'm reading verses 1 to 6. This is John 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The disciples in the upper room were already nervous, and the betrayal of Judas and Jesus' death on the cross was going to trouble them even more. There seemed to be no way out. And Jesus, however, was excited at the prospect of preparing eternal dwelling places for all those paying a price to follow him. Thomas asked about the way to get his mansion, as he was a builder. Those who know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life work on their ability to always listen, trust, and obey the Spirit in new areas every day. It is the trying of your faith that determines the size of your mansion in heaven. Whatever you can trust God with now, including your whole life, under pressure, will determine your rank or position in eternity. Read in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 24, and read to verse 29. This is John's Gospel, chapter 20, starting in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Verse 29. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Thomas was doing some dead works when Christ appeared to the disciples the first time. On his first visit in the upper room, the rest of the disciples did not need to see evidence that Jesus had the same physical body. Peter knew it was Jesus based on his triumphant joy, unaffected by the torment of the cross. Joseph Hedgecock, the author of the book My Sheep and My Voice, was someone who always said, I can have more fun when things are going wrong than most people can when it's going right. When I heard this, I did not believe, and it was not until I started traveling with him that I saw it was true. This unbelief was in my heart when I started in the ministry and had to be removed through repentance. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. This is Hebrews chapter 2, and reading verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Man did not appear intimidating to all the dinosaurs running around at creation. The angels might have been a better choice, as some of them were awesome. Lucifer was clever and the most beautiful angel to look at. Perhaps he was jealous when Adam, created in the image of God, got the job to rule and have dominion over the earth in the likeness of Christ. Even though man sinned, God has not changed his mind about man's calling. The least child of God, abiding in Christ under pressure today, obeying the Spirit at his appearing, will get to be an ambassador. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Abide in Christ, or you become self-righteous, or even a hypocrite, when the pressure increases. Will you abdicate your responsibility for the sake of some earthly comforts, or follow Christ's example? Some of the most miserable people are fighting against God. If you are offended at God's choices, you need to be reconciled to God soon. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power, everlasting. Amen. God is light and has a level of light or understanding that no one can even come close to with earthly wisdom. With that light, however, he is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for your life, so that you do not have to make another wrong choice based on what your limited carnal mind can understand. God is willing to make all the right choices for your life, personally, by his Spirit, even though he's the King of Kings. If you want him to explain everything first, someone else will pass you in the race of faith. You are here on earth now to repent of those things that will hinder you ruling in eternity with him. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 29. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27. And this word ye once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. The shaking will increase steadily and stop you from following Christ if you do not believe with your whole heart. Be content with food and clothes if you're serving in humble circumstances. The pressure is not coming from God, but from those things around that you rely on to keep your flesh comfortable. Those walking by faith may look like a distracted scatterbrain to those using common sense in this world, but everyone should be jealous of those getting his grace and power to serve God acceptably. Heaven and earth is being shaken now for the sake of his bride, so that those who are deceiving themselves in spiritualized flesh are exposed. Jesus responded to the Jews that wanted to know if he was the Christ in John chapter 10 and verse 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 26. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Leaders in the church walking in darkness will tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it to make decisions. When you're making decisions with your own mind, you are being Lord of your life. When Jesus came the first time, he had to look like a reprobate on the cross to reach the right people. His death exposed the religious Jews deceiving themselves and serving the devil. God used the cross to demonstrate the faith of Jesus in the Father to overcome death. Jesus had the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. But it was God that raised him from the dead because he never sinned. God can do amazing things if you lay your life down by acknowledging God and obey his Spirit consistently. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what is your greatest enemy and how have you decided to overcome it? Number two, what two things confirm that you are abiding in Christ consistently? Number three, do you still have a confidence of the flesh? And if so, why? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted, Heaven This Way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared with you about overcoming. This is your privilege. God has given you the grace to overcome. And you must overcome the flesh. That is the access of Satan. I hope you understand. That is your real enemy if you have not understood. Commit yourself today to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and do nonetheless. And God will make a way for you. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, for those who've heard this message and God, you've spoken to them in many areas, give them the grace now to embrace that conviction and be doers of your word according to your grace and truth, in Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.